Friends, I'm going to depart from my typical preaching style and stick more closely to my text, simply because this is a sensitive homily and I have chosen words carefully, and so I want to make sure that I do not say anything that might be not appropriate or probably misunderstood. So I think these are very crucial days. And I say that for three reasons. First of all, the superstorm Sandy. I'm sure that most of you, like me, are immensely saddened by the devastation that was caused. Second, 2 days from today is the presidential elections. And we find ourselves as an increasingly divided nation. In fact, some have proposed that we are now two nations within a nation. And then we have today's readings. Perhaps we are not impressed by the radicalness of the gospel, because we are so far removed from the Christ event. But Christ radically transformed the meaning of the Torah when he brought the 613 laws of the Jewish tradition under two seemingly similar commandments: love God and love your neighbor. So these are the three things that I want to focus on today: the natural disaster, the elections, and what God is saying to us in the gospel. First, the superstorm. So we know by now that Sandy was an unprecedented natural disaster for our nation. In recent times, only the tsunami in the Indian Ocean was any worse than this storm. The grief, the loss of life and property, the despair and the anxiety sadden us beyond imagination. However, as people of faith, we are compelled to make meaning of such tragedies. For me, in spite of such natural disasters, I think of the world as still being a good place. I also think of the God who created the world to be supremely good. Nature will continue to evolve in the way that it is meant to evolve. But all creation, as St. Paul says, groans with eager expectation toward its fulfillment in Christ. And we are part of that creation. We also groan with eager expectation toward our fulfillment in Christ. Sometimes, though, we are inclined to think that we are above creation, that we can fashion our own immortality, that our technology will make us invincible, and that we can fashion our own destiny. But I think these tragedies help us to reflect on the deeper realities of life. I, for example, have learned that ultimately our destiny and the destiny of the world are in the hands of God. And I must trust that eternal destiny. I have learned that we must be humble about our achievements and capacities. No matter how technologically advanced and scientifically sophisticated we become, one day we will die. And one day the world will cease to exist. On that day, we must be ready to surrender all that we are and become one with God. I have learned that instead of trying to conquer nature, we must respect it and take care of it. I have also learned that I need not be without hope in the midst of the most tragic of circumstances, because God in Jesus embraced tragic suffering and made it a means of salvation. That God is closest to us when we suffer. I have also learned that tragedies are an opportunity for us to be the face of God to those in pain. That it is in time of tragedies that we can best understand that we are in it together, that we need one another, and that we are a human family. Secondly, the upcoming elections. For most part, I have refused to use the pulpit to endorse any candidate. Many of you have commended me for this, and others have castigated the stand that I and many other priests have taken. For those of us who took this non-partisan stand, the experience of one of my theologian friends best summarizes how we feel. She was called both a flaming liberal and a zealous conservative within the same week. But what meaning shall we assign to this election as a people of faith? Ironically, it was Sandy that provided us an opportunity to look beyond politics. When President Obama and Governor Chris Christie came together to focus on the rescue and recovery of a people in peril, the entire nation breathed a sigh of relief. The entire nation got a glimpse of what politics is all about. In the forefront during those days were not differences, but rather service to the afflicted, irrespective of wealth, race, religion, or political affiliation. And the question I am asking myself is why this could not be the norm rather than the exception. For me, it is hard to see a divided nation, but it is even harder to see a divided church. I'm saddened that some Catholics have chosen to let politics inform their faith rather than faith inform their politics. I'm saddened to see the entire Catholic teaching reduced to a few non-negotiables, in this way sacrificing the comprehensiveness and the beauty of the Catholic faith at the altar of politics. Unfortunately, even some bishops have contributed to this narrow interpretation of Catholic theology. I certainly have refused to be part of such partisan politics. As President Obama and Governor Chris Christie showcased in their working together, I think that politics must first serve the most vulnerable among us. After all, we believe in a God who came to call not the righteous, but sinners. A God who called not the strong, but the weak. A God who came to be not to be served, but to serve. When public policy is such that the most vulnerable are taken care of, then we know that we are all taken care of. Many a times, the most vulnerable person is in the womb. Other times, he or she is walking homeless on our streets. And at other times, he's a man on death row. The Catholic teachings are broad enough to take care of them all. I think the only non-negotiable principle is the principle of love, all the way from the tomb, all the way from the womb to all the way to the tomb. And that brings us to the readings for today. I think the gospel reading offers us critical insights in light of the two realities that we have reflected upon, the storm and the elections. I'm afraid that when all the attention from the tragedy created by Sandy subsides, that we will all get back to our individual lives and life will be back to what it was before the storm. I'm afraid that after the elections, there will be a call to forget our differences, only for them to resurface again at the midterm elections in 2014 and at the presidential election in 2016. Meanwhile, the call of the gospel will be read in Catholic churches throughout the world. Christ, who lived in an equally divisive society, did something so radical that it ultimately led him to the cross. He deprived human beings the pettiness they can assign to divine law. Divine law is far greater than for human beings to assign petty details to it. He refused to allow the 613 laws of Judaism become a tool for manipulation, oppression, and control in the hands of the Pharisees. And so Jesus set the people free by asking them to focus on just two things. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And to the lawyer who agreed with Jesus, Christ said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." I think that when we stand before God in eternity, God will not ask us how much we have in our bank, what the color of our skin is, or what the political ideology we professed. But Christ will ask us if we loved God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength, and if we loved our neighbor as he loved us. As we come to celebrate this Eucharist, which is a symbol of unity, of reconciliation, of unconditional love, perhaps there are people from all walks of life, all political ideologies present here. May the celebration of our Eucharist be reflected in our life outside the buildings and the confines of this church. May our faith lead us to salvation. Amen.